Yes, Lord, our hearts cry out to see you glorified. The more we try and do it, the more we try and spread your kingdom, the more we just get tired. Lord, we want you just to see you glorify your name, Lord, and that we are just the vessels for your awesomeness to be made manifest in this world, Lord, a dark and dying world. Lord, thank you that all we need to do is just turn to you and lift your name, Lord. Thank you that Jesus, that ability we have now, that privilege we have of walking into the Holy of Holies is because of the work that you did, Lord. The work that you did, Jesus. Not because of our works, but because of what you did, Lord. So anybody has a word or a picture he shared with us?
Just in the worship, when we were singing that song about the Lord taking off our mourning clothes and putting on celebratory clothes, I just felt that it's not just a song we're singing, that there's actually a transition of seasons that the Lord is announcing from a place of mourning, and I believe it's for some of us personal mourning, to a place of celebration. And I think it's also for us, for Somerset West body, and I even believe for the Shofar body. So I'm just going to pray for that now, and if you can pray in your hearts with me. I also believe that there's some of us who, during this place of mourning, the season of mourning, have been very hurt. You perhaps didn't understand it wasn't a season of mourning, or you've actually physically experienced either illness or pain, or there's been trauma in your family or in your personal life. And I felt like the Lord was saying, you need to choose now to put that aside, to put it at his feet, and choose to take on the robes of celebration. And I want you to almost see in your head as we pray now, Lord Almighty, the King of Kings, the one that we've just spoken about, the glorious God coming and putting a robe, taking off the sackcloth and ashes which you would have worn in the mourning phase, and replacing it with a beautiful garment of praise and a crown. So really a shift in seasons. Lord, I just thank you that we can respond to what your word and what your spirit is saying this morning, Lord, that there's a shift in seasons, Lord, that there's a celebration, there's a table, Lord God, that you have prepared before us, Lord. There's a feast, Lord. And Father, we bring our hearts before you this morning, Lord, and we want to receive from you. We submit to you, Lord. We come, Lord, and we kneel before you, and we want to give you, Lord, our sackcloth, Lord, our ashes, Lord. We give you, Father, the things in our hearts that are sore, Lord, that have been mourning, Lord, that feel lost, Lord God. And we ask this morning that you would enrobe us, Lord God, by your glory, Father. And we choose, Lord God, to surrender to this new season, Lord. We choose, Father, to put the things of the past behind us, Lord, to recognize it for what it was, Lord. And that, Lord, it was preparation for this new season, Lord. But we come with you and with the angels, and we want to herald a new season. We want to declare it, Lord, in our own lives this morning. We receive it, Lord. We declare it over Somerset West, Shofar Somerset West, Lord. We declare it over the Shofar body in Jesus' name, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we will see the celebrations, Lord. Thank you for the testimonies that will come, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness, Lord God, because it is for your glory, Lord God. This table is for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name.
I just want to confirm the word that Anne-Marie's brought. I saw pictures we were worshiping of Hannah sitting before the temple of God and on her knees and with her hands lifted up because the Lord heard her cry and gave her son Samuel. And yeah, I just feel that for some of you, God's given you promises and you've been waiting for it, and God says he's heard your cry. And as Hannah was sitting there praising the Lord and thanking him, his presence came upon that city and that place so mightily, like almost like a massive bird coming down. So, yeah, I just feel God's glory is coming into people's lives where you've seeked the Lord for long in specific areas.
Yeah, I just also want to confirm that word. While we were praying at Cell earlier this week, I got Psalm 126, verse 5 again, and that's, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. And Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for placing songs of joy into our heart, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, it's a very weird picture, but I feel it's a confirmation. All of us have seen fairy tales in our lives, and I just saw this picture of us sitting in a high tower and all the demons and all the devil and everyone is surrounding us and the drak and alles. And as we started worshiping, like Madeleine and Jock and everyone just said, the Prince of Peace on his white horse came, and he gave a kiss on our cheeks. And so I just feel that all our waiting in the high tower is over, And yeah, God came to give you a kiss on your cheek, and the Prince of Peace is here.
Amen. Just a quick introduction. I just want to welcome Anton, Pastor Anton, one of the leadership of Shofar. He's going to share a little bit more about him, but great testimony, great man of God. And yeah, let's just give him a hand of welcome. Welcome to Summers of West.
My wife and kids are just leaving the room there at the back. It's the first time that all seven of us are here. Hallelujah. Before I say more about myself and about the message, I just want to comment about the prophetic words that we just received. The believer is of God. And to summarize it, basically God says there was a season of mourning. The change has been announced. It has already come. It's not about to come. It has come. We already have placed upon our shoulders the fierce clearer, the celebratory clothing. And with that comes a new authority. Jesus says in Luke 10 verse 19 to his disciples, and he says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on scorpions and snakes and over all the power of Satan, and nothing shall by any means harm you." And so we need to get out of our towers, as the prophecy went, because Jesus has already set us free. We are not locked up in a tower anymore. Amen? We are not hiding behind rocks anymore, scared of scorpions and snakes. But God says, "I have called you out as my people, and I've given you an authority to trample on scorpions and snakes. I've called you to be rulers, to rule and reign, and need to do so with a boldness and a courage, a mighty courage and a mighty boldness." Hallelujah. And I know sometimes when we go through times of pain, especially, and loss, it's very difficult to be brave when you've lost someone. It's very difficult to be brave when you're in that position of pain. But then God comes and brings healing. He comes and brings restoration, and he gives you peace beyond understanding, peace that surpasses all understanding, which means you get peace when you're not supposed to have peace. And then you come from that place of peace, and you can be like Jesus in the boat, and the storm is going about, and you can have peace. Or you could be like the disciples in the same boat, in the same storm, being frantically crying out and saying, "We're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die." And they focus on the fact that they're going to die, and Jesus is sleeping. Why? Because he has authority, and he's focused, and he knows that this storm is not going to kill him, and he's not going to drown out. And Jesus wants to teach us today that we need to come up from panic. Move out of panic, move out of this anxiety and despair, and come into the season of celebration. Amen. Hallelujah. I really believe that God wants to take us higher today, but before I get to that, let me just share with you, what I believe God wants to do today, this morning and this evening. I believe God wants to take you as a church, and I believe that you are a prominent church and a church of influence, and that God wants to start fires here today. And like Samson, God's going to tie you, your tails together like foxes, two by two, light it on fire and chase you out to go and destroy the works of Satan. Because that is what Samson did. He tied the foxes two by two, lighted their fires. And I mean, sometimes we need the fire on our behinds to get us going. We're going to be speaking about a different kind of fire today. But in the same way, Jesus in Matthew 10 sent out his 12 disciples, two by two, into the towns where he was about to go. And there he was going to do signs and wonders, and the kingdom of God was about to come in those places. And so in the same way, God will send you out. In Luke chapter 10, Matthew 10, Luke chapter 10, easy to remember. Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out 70 others, also two by two, going out as witnesses to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and to proclaim the gospel, casting out demons. That is what God wants us to do. And the empowerment that I'm going to be speaking about this morning is so that you can move, so that you can go. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I just commit this morning into your hands, and I pray that your perfect will be done. Lord, that you anoint my mouth as I speak, that you will endow me with power from on high to bring the message true and clear. In Jesus' name, amen. Tomorrow morning, I'm flying with Pastor Fred to Ghana, where we're going to meet the leaders of Empower 21 for Africa. And about 5 weeks ago, we went with Reverend Frank Shikani to Kenya, where we met with the East African leaders, the bishops, as God is bringing people together across the world. And I'm just going to give you a little bit of background of what I'm doing and how this all fits together, and then we're going to get into the message. Christine and I are both based in Shofar head office, She's involved with the pastoral functions within Stellenbosch, but I oversee the network churches. That's the churches that are not Shofar name, but they relate with us and to us, and they do our Bible school and encounters and so forth. I also oversee the developing churches like Nomzamo, so I don't take over your role as a church here in terms of as a base church connected with Nomzamo, but in terms of the overall strategy, I need to give direction for the developing churches and training and evangelism. And so before this year is out, we're going to have a lot of training and this evangelism in Nomzamo. Okay. Then there is also the Cyrus Trust and the NGOs, which I also oversee from a pastoral perspective, just to give vision and direction and to unify the NGOs together with the church and to make it as one so that we can operate together fully. And then fourthly is my assisting Pastor Fred with Empower 21. And I want to speak to you about that just briefly because it's going to tie up with my message. Empower 21 basically started in, I think, 2006 or around 2006. They had their first big celebration. And before that, it started out as an idea that's from Oral Roberts University in America, where the guy said, let us bring together the Pentecostal and charismatic churches across the world. And let us work together as Spirit-empowered. That's where the name comes from. Empowered, Spirit-empowered people in the 21st century. And let us work together instead of against each other or ignoring each other. Let us come together and formalize a global plan for evangelism and discipleship. And so in 2006, they had a celebration in Azusa, or at Azusa Street, where in 1906 there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, just to give you a little bit of background, on the day of Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, or 2,000 and, never mind, plus minus 2,000 years ago, there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem upon the first disciples. And as a result of that there was a massive boom, there was a massive explosion in terms of the kingdom of God. And within the lifetime of those very same people, all of Asia have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. And even beyond that, but not up until the ends of the earth just yet. But for 100 years, people who were filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit have been going out, and Jesus said, I'm going to give you that power so that you can be my witnesses. We're going to come back to that later. But so people were very effective witnesses in the beginning, moving in miracles and signs and wonders, and the gospel spread massively. After about 100 years, the transference of the seed or the baton from generation to the next generation weakened each time. And so eventually it became lost somehow. That is how we entered into the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages. And you may have heard about those names and terminologies in history. And the world literally became dark. And the power of the Holy Spirit almost in a sense disappeared, or it was in very small brackets. But there wasn't an explosive power on the planet. There wasn't a significant presence of the Holy Spirit's power and His presence in the lives of believers. And so the gospel was polluted and taken over by people who distorted it for at least about 1,000 years. Thereafter came a little bit of the Reformation, and little bits by little bit, God started to restore the Church of Jesus Christ. So at first there was the restoration of the doctrine of salvation. You get saved through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Then came the restoration of baptism as the sign of the new covenant. And then came the restoration of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that was in 1906 in Azusa Street. In 1904, in Wales, something similar happened, but the most famous one is actually the 1906 one in Azusa Street, because from there, the fire of God spread, and that is where we today have the Pentecostal and charismatic churches of the world. Empower 21 up until this point is about 65 million members, people that's involved there. The fastest growing guys, and this is in Asia. At their first meeting in Asia, they had 5,000 pastors coming together. South America, second biggest. America, third, even though it started there. Europe and Africa is lagging a bit behind, which is why Pastor Fred and Reverend Frank Chikani from the International, he heads up the international department of the AFM, RGS, and the two of them have been deputized by the African leadership to be the vision sharers and the conveners of the leaders of Africa. And Pastor Fred asked me to assist him and to help him in this regard, which is why we went to Kenya to gather the bishops and the leaders there. The bishops there have between 60 and 4,000 churches each. And the person we're meeting tomorrow, Apostle Apoko, he's got 30,000 churches. And he's sort of heading up the African department. God is doing something amazing in the world. God is, there's a convergence taking place, two convergences. There's the armies of Satan that is gathering, and God is starting to gather his army. The word convergence and why we have the convergence conference, you need to understand, it's prophetic. And if you go in the airports, you will see a big Telkom ad that says convergence. And everywhere I go, I see convergence. Even in the latest movies, you see convergence coming in as a theme all over the world. And so I was tempted this morning to preach something different to you this morning, but I felt clearly that God said, I must continue with the word that I came here with, entitled The Holy Spirit and Fire, as an outflowing of what God is doing. And you need to have an understanding of what God is doing and what we are actually part of. Isn't it amazing? Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he is building, and the Holy Spirit is leading. And all across the world, leaders of churches is hearing the Holy Spirit and saying, let us come together. Let us find ways to move together. But let us not miss out. So as a church and as a congregation and a leading church in many ways, I feel that God is saying to us, church, I want to remind you of the heritage that I've given you. Jesus said to his disciples, I must go away, and it is better for you, it is for your profit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit cannot come. I mean, who of you would love Jesus to walk in here and take over the microphone? Who of you would love to travel back in time and become one of Jesus' 12 disciples and sit around with him all day and just follow him and listen to everything he says? Who would like that? I would love that. Who of you have wished and prayed and somehow sort of thought, what if Jesus could sit to me next to me on my bed here and I can ask him questions and he can answer it to me? Anybody ever wanted that? So Jesus says, instead of that, which we think is the best thing in the world, you agree with me on that? Instead of that, I'm going to give you something better and someone better. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, because he can speak to you everywhere you are. I can be physically in one place, but the Holy Spirit will be in you and with you all together, and he will hear all your prayers and everything together. Hallelujah. We need to understand that the season and the dispensation, Jesus Christ came and he brought salvation. He fulfilled the old covenant and he introduced the new covenant, and we can enter into covenant with God through Jesus Christ. But in this dispensation of the new covenant, we need to understand that we are living in the era of the Holy Spirit. And somehow Satan obviously wants to try and cut off the church from the Holy Spirit. But in Joel chapter 2, God spoke and he said, there will come a time when I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, on your sons and upon your daughters, and they will prophesy, and they will see visions, and they will dream dreams, young and old, women and men, without exception. What does that mean? It means that we're going to all be able to hear the voice of God. Before that time, only a handful of people could really hear the word of God. The voice of God was the prophets and some of the kings who were anointed. And I'm going to get to a scripture now which speaks about Saul. And when he was empowered by the Spirit of God, he could prophesy. And like we have this morning, had some prophecies. God is saying to you, I'm going to empower all of you in this new age, the new era of the Holy Spirit. To do what? To be my witnesses. Now, I'm preaching well beyond my notes, and I'm getting excited, so let me come through the notes. Let's start. That was the introduction. God wants to call you up higher. Some of us are looking at the world and the planet and your life and your circumstances like this, and you're so troubled and you're so boxed in, and you just cannot get out of this box that you're in. And God is saying, come up higher. You need to fly like eagles and see from up higher. We live in a spiritual world and in a natural world at the same time. Right here in this room, there are angels and there are demons some places. Everyone sitting here, you are body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit man looks just like your natural man, but it's made of spiritual matter somehow. I don't know how that matter works, but that is why we will be recognizable in heaven and ageless. We won't have wrinkles and basics and gray hair, and we'll have straight backs. Hallelujah. In die borstkas gaan nog hier sit. So you are a soul, that's who you are, your will, your thoughts, your emotions, etc. Inside a spiritual body, inside a natural body, which I call the flesh box of the walking butchery. And then one day this flesh box is going to drop dead, and then your spirit inside of, or your soul inside of your spirit is going to either go to heaven or it's going to go to hell. But right here in this moment in time, you are sensing the spiritual realm and you are seeing and feeling the material realm. But because we've been brought up in a Western world where we have been told that the spiritual dimension does not exist, it's not there. You see, Satan has two strategies. Either he presents himself as non-existent to the intellectual Western societies, or he presents himself as all-powerful and mighty as this demon. That's why you get these horror movies, and it's throughout all the DVD shops. It's the biggest thing there because it's like, you know, sometimes I show the kids, this is how it works. You take a little balloon, normal balloon, you draw an angry face on it, and you blow it up. And then you've got this big face with his tongue. And all you need to do is just take one needle, and it goes pop, and it's gone. Satan plays poker for a living. And he always bluffs because he doesn't have a hand. Jesus Christ has stripped him of it all. He will never, ever have a winning hand. He will always be bluffing and scaring people or pretending that he doesn't exist. Either way, we should not fall for it. I want to refer you, it's not on the screen, Daniel chapter 10. Daniel is fasting for 21 days. And eventually, after 21 days, a messenger angel comes to him and it says, Daniel, your prayers have been answered on the very first day, but I couldn't come to you because from the third heaven, that's where God and his angels is, through the second heaven where Satan and his demons are unto the realm where we are. He says, I couldn't come through to you because the prince of Persia, in other words, the main demon, the head demon of Persia, resisted me. But then the prince of God, the archangel Michael, the warrior angel, the great general of those armies, came and he assisted me, and I broke through, and we came here, and now I'm going to give you the message, and I'm going to speak quickly, because after this, I'm going to go back and fight with the prince of Persia, and after we're done with him, we're going to go to the prince of Greece. Which means there are wars in the heavenlies taking place that we do not know of, but it's constant, and even our prayers need to strengthen the hands of the angelic beings. There are powers, there's a world that is real, that is true, that is written in our scriptures, but somehow Satan has conjured up these lies that it doesn't exist, and it's not real, this bygelowigheid. And in this realm, there is a power. God's power, dunamis power, which we'll speak about later. But I need you to understand the context of my message this morning that I'm saying to you are called believers by the Most High God to exercise authority in this world. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:13, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truth to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. This is very important. You cannot try and explain the things I'm going to be sharing with you this morning with somebody who's not born again. Someone can have 2 degrees in theology and still not have understanding if you're not born again. You must be born again, have the Spirit of God inside of you as a witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Then your spiritual eyes are open, as Paul writes in Ephesians, and he says, I pray that your spiritual eyes be opened, that you may see the greatness of God's power and of his love towards you, but that you can see into the spirit, that you will be not like Gehazi, who, when he was with the prophet, looked up and he said, here's the Syrian army or the enemy army all around us, and he didn't see the fact that God's angelic army was right behind them. And so the prophet is stirring the pot, and 3 times Gehazi throws a tantrum, and then eventually the prophet says, Ach Lord, just open his eyes. That the net for me can afkom. And then he says, oh, whoo, look. There are thousands and thousands of angels, 10 times more than the enemy, and they've got chariots of fire. Ni audi of BMBNE. Chariots of fire. And then he sees there is a spiritual realm. We need to see it. Just quick testimony from me. I'll share one or two things with you this morning in terms of testimony. The first time I encountered the supernatural and the realities of the supernatural, I was 15 years old. Came home after school one afternoon, entered my room, just laid on my bed. I was looking at the ceiling and the light and the curtains, and all of a sudden I was caught up in the spirit just like that. And it's like being transferred into another world, like being inside of a movie. And we read about encounters like this in the Bible. Those who have seen visions, those who have been caught up in heaven. But it happened to me at the age of 15. And in this, I was, in a sense, transferred back to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And I was standing next to a road, and I saw Roman soldiers walking past me, fully dressed with the red and the leather and the helmets and the sandal straps, everything, clearly coming past me. And then I saw three hills, and then a middle hill was higher. And on the middle hill was three figures, which I recognized to be Christ with the two sinners next to him. And above that was a major big cloud. And out of the cloud came a voice, and a voice, a mighty voice, thundered and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I delight." And boom, I was back in my room, and I saw the lights in the ceiling and the curtains again. Now, before that time, I believed in God. I gave my heart to Jesus a number of times. But if I have to look back, I can say that I was not yet truly born again, because I never came to that place of 100% total full repentance and surrender to God. I didn't have understanding of salvation fully. And even after that experience, I still did not become fully born again. It happened only a year after that. There are a number of stories that I can tell you, but time is running out and I want to get to something else. But I just want you to know that the things I'm sharing with you are real. Let me tell you one story. The Holy Spirit is leading me differently this morning. Sometimes it happens that I wake up in the Spirit at night. My body is sleeping, my spirit wakes up, and I realize my body is sleeping. Has that happened to anybody? Okay. And in this encounter, I was alone, and I saw a ball of fire coming to me. And I realized I had nowhere to run. I cannot hide from this thing. And it came to me, and it made this sort of fire sound. Came straight at me, and I realized I had to brace myself. So I just braced myself. And it went straight through me for 2 seconds. And I just... What was this? And then again, a second ball of fire came, 10 times bigger. And this time, it was so scary, my teeth literally started clattering. And I stood there, and this thing for 10 seconds just came through me. And eventually, I woke up and I said, "God, what is this?" And for many years, I was sort of dumbstruck, because I realized it wasn't evil. It wasn't a demonic thing. I couldn't rebuke it in the name of Jesus. But the scripture tells us that God will send his refining fire. And he will refine us like gold, and the chaff will be burnt away, and that which remains is all that we will have. Many, many stories I can share with you about the reality of the spiritual realm, but let's come move on. When I became born again eventually in 1992, I realized in that time that I need to give myself to Christ 100%. 99.9% is not good enough. You have to die to yourself. You cannot become born again if you're still alive. The old man must be dead. I did that. At the same night, I said, "Lord, I will follow you." I said yes to the call of God in my life, and I developed a slogan, which I will now call WWW. Whatever, whenever, wherever. Doesn't stand for World Wide Web or for wrestling. Whatever, whenever, wherever. God, send me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. On the same night I became born again, I led my first person to Jesus 15 minutes after I made my own commitment. Never stopped since. Church, we need to live a life surrendered to God. That same night, God spoke to me and said, "Anton, there's no difference between you and Moses and Joshua and all the other guys. They had a calling. You have a calling. You are 16. They were 16. Be obedient to what I've called you to do, and you will see what happens after that." And God is saying the same thing. There's not a person on this planet who does not have a calling, who does not have a purpose. Be faithful to that in Jesus' name. But as I turned that page in my life, I started to devour the scriptures. I started to seek God. I said, "Lord," and I read my Bible 3-4 hours a day. And I know that because that was study time in Hayes McFarlane in Battle Gymnasium. Hour and a half, 10 minutes break, hour and a half. That was my Bible study time. Hallelujah. I still made my trick. And then I started to see truth. I started to see that there was a lot more things in scripture than what I was taught to believe. Somehow, every preacher just always missed the important things. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 10, verse 1. "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him and said, 'Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people Israel?'" Verse 6. "Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." Verse 11. "And when all who knew him previously saw how he prophesied with the prophets, the people said to one another, 'What has come over the son of Kish? Is Saul also among
the prophets. This is an example of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament on individuals who were anointed by the prophet for a specific job, a priest, a king, or a prophet. And so those with a handful of peoples, you would see the same thing happen to David when he was anointed, that the power of the Spirit came upon him and he also prophesied. In other words, he had the supernatural ability to lock into God's supernatural realm and the resources that God has given him supernaturally for that specific job. We're going to look at this later, but we as believers receive the very same Spirit, but for the same reason, for empowerment. It's not to be a king, a priest, or a prophet, but to be a witness, Acts 1 verse 8. But this is where we see it. And then the prophet says to him, he says to him, listen, Saul, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you will be a different man. And even his friends and family in the community looked at him and said, what has come over Saul? He's different. Is he now also a prophet? There's something strange. There's something supernatural about him. Which means we look at ourselves and we look at one another through natural eyes and we look at the sokies and the onetleer of the ontlepi fluid and you know, smelly feet, and that's sort of the way we look at life, and we're just so in tune with the smelly socks that we don't want to see what happens when the Spirit of God comes upon you and me and making us different people. As I stand here today, I'm a different person to what I was before I was born again. Part of my testimony is the fact that I was a very small boy at school. My freckles was green, snotgroen. I thought I was the ugliest boy on the planet. I was very shy. I didn't speak to anybody. First 3 years of school, spent my break times crying. If I had to do an oral presentation, I would be shaking like this in front of 20 people. But the night I became born again, I said, God, even if I have to go to China, I will go to China. If I have to speak in front of 10,000 people, I will do that, even though I'm shaking with 20. In ex-Afrikaans, now I'm speaking English. God can do many things if you say yes. When you receive the power of God, you need to know that you are already empowered. If you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, you already are a different person when you move with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you can live your life in the natural realm, in a natural way, using your natural senses every single day, and what you will have as a reward is stinking socks. Or you can say, well, I'm not going to live my life in a life of stinking socks. I'm going to start to live my life every day in the Spirit and power of God. I'm going to start praying for my colleagues at work. I'm going to start prophesying over the offices there. I'm going to start laying my hands on those tables, and I'm going to call salvation into being. I'm going to start praying for the sick at work. I'm going to start praying for the sick at school. I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do. I'm going to say whatever He calls me to say to whomever, whatever, whenever, wherever. Amen. And live a supernatural life. I believe, church, that the whole of Asia did not hear the gospel in 100 years because people were sitting at home watching TV. The Bible tells us they went from house to house to house every single night, and we worried about one day. Sunday is just too much to come to church twice. And yet those guys said, we have been empowered to do a job. We're going to do this job. We're going to run with this gospel. We're going to pray for this. We're going to cast out the demons, all of them, not just some of them. Hallelujah. I'm trying to shake you up, your church. Can you see that? I'm trying to wake you up to say, hey, there's a different world out there. This passivity that we have in a religious form that we have, as many preachers have said, do not go with the form of godliness that denies the power of God. Okay, I've already spoken to you about Joel chapter 2, the promise of the Holy Spirit being poured out. Then Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 18. These are some of the scriptures I started to read, and I said, how could nobody have told me about this? Jesus said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. These signs will accompany those who believe. Not might, not maybe, not some, those who believe. Any believers in the house? Okay, who of you have had poison in the last year? Anybody pick up a snake lately? One. I'm so blessed by the testimony of Pastor Yanni and Franchuk, who went hiking in the mountains. Do you know the story? Know the story? And he got bitten by this poisonous snake, and he just rebuked the poison and the snake and killed the snake. Hallelujah. And then he came back, and the doctor was dumbfounded. How can this guy not be blind and in pain and sort of limping about with a swollen fat foot 3 times his size? It's just normally he's healed. There's no effect by the poison. And we hear testimony upon testimony of things like that. But we need to be living in this promised land that God has given us. Our promised land is living in the supernatural realm, having access to God Almighty's power, to those who believe. And I started to wonder, and I said, but God, why have I not seen any of this in my life? Why have nobody preached this where I was around? Why have I not heard anyone testify of something like this? John 14:12, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Anybody walked on water lately? Anyone multiplied the bread and fish? Some years ago, one of our Zimbabwean teams, when I was still missions director in Stellenbosch in the early years, I sent one of the teams to Mozambique. And so Zimbabwe. And as they arrived, the people in the congregation were waiting for them for 48 hours already, not eating, waiting with bated breath because the people of God are coming to share the gospel. So they were hungry, they were very tired, and it was about 10 o'clock at night when they arrived. And so they said to one another, but we've got to give these people food. And all they had with them was one packet of butter biscuit rusks. And there was 100 or 200 people in the room. So they said, well, let's trust God for multiplication. They prayed over the rusks and they started handing out the rusks. And so there was rusks enough for the whole church to eat themselves full, and they had rusks left over. That's why a shofar team going to Zimbabwe. That's part of God's heritage for us. But now Jesus gives this prophecy or this promise. It says, those who believe. How did it happen? Let's just look at it. What happened after that. Matthew 4:24. So his fame spread through all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Matthew 8:16. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Now let's get to Acts. This is now the believers. Acts 5:12. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's porch. Acts 5:16. The people also gathered from towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. In other words, Jesus gave the promise, and the promise was already fulfilled. It's not something that needs to come. It is already there. Jesus healed all. His apostles healed all. Hallelujah. I believe that the next restoration that God wants to do in His church, He's now given us the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But church, we need to learn how to move and operate in the power of the Spirit, that we will heal all in the name of Jesus. We are not there yet. But if we follow the scriptures, and if we put our faith out and we move out with boldness, trusting God, forget about the people you prayed for that didn't get healed. Forget about the ones who passed away. Love them and love the memory, but forget the fact that they didn't get healed. Let us move on. Let us strive towards that which God has put before us, and that is our heritage, to heal all. Then, as I was looking at this and saying, but why am I not experiencing this? Why don't I have this? Then I found a key. One of the most famous scriptures in the Bible is John 3:16. Would you agree? I want to teach you another 3:16. Luke 3:16. Luke 3:16 says, John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Hallelujah. That to me is the key. Acts 1:4-5, Jesus speaking, and he says, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Which was that? That's the promise of Joel, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Then verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Not in here. In John chapter 20, Jesus blows on his disciples and he says, receive my Spirit. Two chapters later in the Bible, we get to Acts 1, he says, go wait for the promise of the Father. Just to quickly distinguish, there's the presence of the Holy Spirit, which we receive when we become born again. But then comes the empowering of the Holy Spirit when we get filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you see that? Okay, just go study it yourself, John 20, and then Acts chapter 1. But the point is, where Jesus says, wait for the Holy Spirit, then if he says you receive, then you've received the presence of the Holy Spirit. If He says, wait, then there's something else that needs to come. And I realized I needed something else. So I prayed these prayers. I went one night on Battle for Lay in Gekerk on the grass there after evening service all by myself. And I said, Lord, your word says that you baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I had no one else. And I cried. I said, God, Jesus, your word says, therefore I ask that you baptize me now with your Holy Spirit and with fire. And that you make your gifts alive in my life. And in reality, to make myself willing to be used by you. I felt a warmth coming inside. We didn't see tongues of fire, didn't fall over, and didn't have goosebumps. Didn't speak in tongues either. Just felt a warmth. And from that day onwards, my eyes, spiritual eyes opened, the scriptures opened, and I have an incredible wisdom in understanding of the scriptures supernaturally. Then 3 months later, a friend of mine in hostel says, you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, eh? I said, what's that? He explains to me about laying on of hands and all sorts of things. I said, well, that sounds great. I want to come to your church and the lifts don't work out. And I'm angry with God. I said, God, why is it that my lifts don't work out? I so want this. And now lifts don't work out. And then in that instant, God shows me the movie of that night when I asked him. He said, you asked, therefore you've received. You already have it. And I said, oh, okay, hallelujah. Started praying in tongues a little while after that. At first, I sounded like a horse race commentator. And then somebody came to me and said, Anton, stop. You know, this is a language. There's commas, there's full stops, and there's even question marks. You know, just relax. Formulate the words. So I started formulating the words, articulating it. And then the thought came to me and said, but you're just making this up. This is just baby language. Goo goo gaga. You know, like the mommies do. And then I went to the scriptures. Matthew 7. Luke 11, I'm going to read to you. I'm jumping scriptures here now. Luke 11, verse 9 to 13. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? I said, God, your word again, I said. Because the night I became born again, I said, Lord, how will I know what is right and wrong? There are 200 different denominations, thousands of denominations. How will I know what is right? God, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said to me, Anton, you look at my word as it is in context, and what is in there you do, what is not in there you don't do. That's it. And so I said, Lord, your word says that I must ask and therefore I will receive. And if I ask for the Holy Spirit, you're not going to give me a stone. You're not going to give me a fake. And you're not going to give me a scorpion and a snake. You're not going to give me something dangerous. So many people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. Whoa, wat is ek omval? My kop. What if I speak in a demon tongue? Ooh, hona. You're not going to receive a demon tongue when you call on the name of the Lord. You're not going to receive a stone. You're not going to receive something fake when you call on the name of the Lord. So all by myself, I stood there and I said, Lord, I stand upon your word. And if I'm making up these words, then I'm trusting you that I'm making them up right. And 6 months down the line, I was with the shofar team in Durban, Love Southern Africa Missions Conference. We led a guy to the Lord, a black gentleman on the streets, baptized him in the bathtub where we were staying. It's the only water we had, and only 8 of us could fit into the room. And we all started praying in tongues, and I prayed the simple prayer. I said, Lord, use me. I'm willing. I'm ready. Now, we're all already praying in tongues. We've already led the guy to the Lord, and he's not sick. And all of a sudden, I felt the fire of God well up inside me, like literally a heat coming inside me. My voice became louder, and my language changed to clicking sounds. And the guy in the bathtub started to get excited. I got excited. Everybody got excited. I knew something was going down. I didn't understand what I was saying, but spoke to him for about 20 minutes in that language. And afterwards, when he got out and dressed, dry, we said to him, now, did you understand what I was saying? He looked at me like I'm stupid. I said, of course I did. I said, what do you mean? Oh, you spoke Xhosa. And one of the guys in our team knows Xhosa, and he says, I spoke so fluently, I even made the clicking sounds right, and there's 4 types of clicking sounds. And in his own language, through the Spirit of God, I explained to him about salvation, baptism, and baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because I said, if I ask, I will receive. And God will not give me a fake, and he will not give me something evil that I need to be afraid of. And also because I said, here I am, Lord, use me. You see,
there were seven other people in that room.
And every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening, God, the Spirit hovers over his people and says, who can I call? Who's going to bring the word of prophecy? Who's going to pray for the sick? And he's looking for somebody whose radar is on, who's switched on his signal and says, beep, 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 yeah, Lord, I'm ready. Beep, beep, yeah, Lord, I'm ready. Use me. And then when he sees no signal,
he just carries on, goes above us. Let me tell you a testimony of the first time I prophesied in church. We're still having church then. The Salem Soul, Timothy Bucker, was leading worship. And he's, you know, like after the praise and worship, he says, is there anybody here with a prophetic word? And I got this butterfly feeling in my stomach. Anybody know that feeling? You know, like before an exam, before you do a big race at school, when you stand outside the principal's office for a box law, you know, that feeling. And I was standing there, and I just went stronger and stronger, and I knew I had to go. But I had no clue what the word was. So I walked up to the stage, and I had no word. I climbed the steps. I still had no word. I walked onto the middle of the stage and took hold of the microphone. I still had no word. And then I said, thus says the Lord. And as I said, thus says the Lord, the first sentence came, and I spoke it. As the first sentence came, so I spoke the second and the third and the fourth. And afterwards, many people came to me and said, Anton, that word was for me. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful that you came. That was a divine encounter for me tonight. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul speaks and he says, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I want you to understand that when you, in terms of praying in tongues, many people get prayed, laid hands, you pray for the Holy Spirit, and you receive the Holy Spirit, but you don't speak in tongues, you don't pray for the sick, nothing happens. And so you think, I didn't receive. So, some people come to the praying for the infilling of the Holy Spirit 10 times, but you've been filled the first day like I was, but you're not using it. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. In other words, there's no angel that's going to come shake your tongue going, nah, 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 nah. When it's time for the prophetic, there's no angel that's going to pick you up and fly you to the front and make you stand here and shake your tongue for you. You can receive a prophecy, and it's your choice whether you're going to sit there on your bum or whether you're going to come to the front and say, this is what I believe God is saying. This is what I feel God is saying. Because we also need to recognize our own fallibility, which is why Paul says every prophecy must be tested. We can miss it, but rather miss it than do nothing. Because that's how we learn. Oh, is it this? No, that's how his voice does not sound. And the next time, you don't heed that voice. The first time I had to pray for the sick, for healing, apart from in the hostel, in cell group, standing in front of a crowd at Malawi, 1995, about 1,000 people, and now we're going to pray for the sick. I went behind, where nobody could see me, I said, Lord, I can't do this. I can't make anybody get healed. You need to come and help me now. And so I stood on the platform and said, all the sick, come to the front. We're going to pray for you now. And you know the danger. People don't get healed. What if? And as I just said, now in the name of Jesus, receive your healing. Many people got healed. And all of them claimed to be healed. I'm not sure what the percentage rate is, but I saw amazing things happening. At another place in Tanzania, a woman brought a paralyzed little child, and the child started to walk on the platform. I've seen many, many healings, but I've also seen people not get healed. The point is, I'm going to carry on and do what God has called me to do. I prayed for cancer people who died, but I've also prayed for people who got healed. How it works, we don't know just yet. But we need to find out and pursue God. But do it. Church, we've been called to be witnesses. Now, let me just get back, and I'm going to close with this. And some more testimonies that you can read, I'll close with. Coming back to Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Your job description, my job description, is to be a witness. In Somerset West, South Africa, Africa, and the ends of the earth. But let me talk about dunamis. I want you to understand what this is. Dunamis is the power of God. And that word dunamis, if you look at the translations, it refers to an energy or a power or a force. If you liken it to the natural realm, because it's not the natural realm, so it's difficult to understand it in natural realm terms. But if I can try to do it, it's almost like electricity that flows. And it can bring movement, it can bring light, it can bring all sorts of things, that power. Which is why when the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, she came and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. You remember that story? And she got healed instantaneously. And Jesus turns around and says, who touched me? And the disciples look at him, are you nuts? I mean, there's 5,000 people here and they're all touching you. What do you mean, who? Everybody. And he says, no,
Someone has touched me and power has gone out of me. There's a current that left me. I felt literally the current of the dunamis power flowing out of me. Which is why we have the laying on of hands, by the way. There's a current flowing. There's something flowing. Have you ever felt that, some of you? But it's also like lightning. Because then the centurion comes to Jesus and he says, I've got a servant that is sick. Jesus says, I'll come to your house. He says, no, you don't have to. Just speak the word. Jesus says, wow, such faith have I not seen in Israel. And so Jesus speaks the word and the guy got healed very far away. So it wasn't by physical touch. God can release his dunamis power anywhere he wants to. But in both instances, it was faith that was the trigger. Both instances, Jesus said, wow, your faith has made you well, or your servant well. In other words, there's power in these walls connected to a power source, wires, and there's a switch. And if you don't flick the switch, the lights won't go on, the projector won't work, the sound won't work, nothing will work. The power is accessible. It is there. The cabling is ready. Everything is there. But somebody has to flick the switch. And the switch's name is faith. And together with that, willingness and obedience. Many of us are willing, but few are obedient. Yes, Lord, I'll pray for the sick. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. But we don't flick the switch because we're scared. What if it doesn't happen? Well, then do it again and again and again and again. Hallelujah. If you want to read up more stories, I want to just show you, I don't ever almost do this, but just go to the first book there on the slides, They Speak With Other Tongues by John Sherrill. It's one of the first books I read with many testimonies of speaking in tongues. And this guy went out to disprove. He was a Christian journalist. And his job was to disprove speaking in tongues, to prove that it's false, just lies. And the more he tried to do that, the more evidence he found that it's true. I'm not going to go into the stories. There's many. Wonderful. And then there's a book, Like a Mighty Wind by Mal Tari, with wonderful, powerful testimonies in there. I'll just share with you one. Can I share with you one? Because it's related to the message. Mal, on that island of Timor, a small island in the Asian region, they didn't have vineyards, they had no wine, and they didn't have trade there, so there was no wine available on the island. And so if they wanted to have communion, they had to turn water into wine every Sunday. And so every Sunday they had a prayer meeting, and then at the prayer meeting somebody would go fetch water and they would pray over it and turn it into wine, and then they would have communion in church. And so Mal looked at this and he said, man, this is nonsense. Somebody is tricking. They've got some bottle somewhere imported and they have this whole show to pretend that they've got this supernatural thing going. And so the guy asked next time, said, Mal, why don't you come pray with us? He said, yeah, I'll come pray. I'll come. And now he's thinking, I'm going to check you out. So they say, Mal, why don't you go fetch the water? He says, yeah, well, pleasure. Now nobody's going to cheat me. And he fetches the water and he carries it like this in the basin, and nobody's going to put something in here that I'm not going to see. Puts it down and there's a white cloth over it. He holds it tight. And then he's thinking, who's going to pray the magic prayer? And they say, Mal, why don't you please pray for us? I said, oops. This one backfired. So he prays that God will turn the water into wine. And as he opens his eyes, the cloth fell into the water and it turned red. So he's amazed and he looks at it, and so the guy says, now you must taste it first. Taste it. That's how we do it every Sunday. So he tastes it and it tastes like water. And they ask him, how does it taste? And the Holy Spirit says to him, tell them, praise God, it tastes like wonderful wine. He says, no, but the Holy Spirit, I can't do that. That's a lie. That tastes like water. And the Holy Spirit asks him, who are you going to believe, your tongue or my word? So he said, okay, praise God, it tastes like wonderful wine. And now he's nervous. So now he has to walk the 100 meters from the prayer room to where the church is. And at the door stands the pastor. And he also takes a taste every Sunday. He tastes and he says, praise God, it tastes like wonderful wine. That was sort of their catchphrase. And he looks at the pastor and says, you're a liar. But then he tasted again. And this time around, it was tasting just like wine. The miracle was concluded. Then there's many other wonderful testimonies. The heavenly man from Brother Yun will inspire you. It's like a modern day act, what God is doing in China. Beautiful testimonies there. And lastly, Evangelism by Fire by Reinhard Bonnke. I would like you to just go and read those things and as testimonies to encourage you. But church, God wants us to move with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And I'm going to conclude just with the fire. What is the fire? There are different opinions about this. Let me share with you mine. Jesus said, or John said, when Jesus baptized you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, and what did we see on the heads of the disciples? Tongues of fire. We have many testimonies of tongues of fire that's upon people. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit moves inside of you, you feel a heat. Who have you felt that? Who have you felt when somebody lays hands on you like this heat coming through your hand and touching you. One of your church members here, Potty, Johan Potgieter, sometimes when we were students, he would lay hands on me. Man, and his hand would burn like fire, literally. There are testimonies during the Welsh revival, also in the early 1900s, of people praying. And then the fire brigade would come at night and say, we're going to be here to put the fire out. They say, what fire? There's no fire, but there was a fire on the building. Have you heard testimonies like that? Everywhere we hear testimonies like that, that fire, what is fire? Here's a piece of wood. Inside there's energy. When this energy is released, we see there's heat, there's light, and there's the flame, the fire. The fire is the symbol, the sign of energy being released. So when God gives us the Holy Spirit and fire, He's speaking about the dunamis power of God inside of us being released, and the sign of that is the fire that we experience. Yes, we go through fires of pain and suffering and so forth through our lives. That's a different kind of fire. But when we talk about the Holy Spirit and fire, when through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that fire symbolizes the dunamis power of God. Guys, we must run with what God has given us. And so this morning, I'm going to give you opportunity to do two things. I don't know everybody here, so I'm going to make an invitation for somebody who wants to become born again, in case somebody's like that. And secondly, I'll make an invitation for anyone who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And as people respond for that, I'm going to teach you how to do it. Because too often we wait for somebody else in the pastor to come and lay hands, and somebody else must do it. So today, let me not run ahead. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will do a mighty work in our minds and in our hearts here this morning. Move away the intellectual stumbling blocks. Genahu, Amealah Dam, Gonsibi, Gandrihi Namonda Ha, Ombeldrach, Gondili Andau, Mensigi Talah Tulombolau, Inganehete Landoch Kunum, Maroch Tuloa Neandau, and Zigadachte, Numbi in the Handa, Ondeltrach de Masungum Bach. Let the fire of the Most High God fill this place in Jesus' name. Let the Mighty One of Israel arise, and let His people arise. Let it be known that Jesus Christ rules. Alech tanom, zemerich di drau. Galehi namochto, amberdrech talian dokua. Zemaki talampau wa mastedech. My people, I call you as my sheep, so that I will send you like sheep among the wolves. Some may be hurt, some may be devoured, but go as I send you to the glory of my Father. Galeich koru zamechki. Let it be as it was spoken. If anybody is here this morning and you know that you are in that 99% bracket. You haven't fully surrendered your life to God. You are in doubt whether you're born again, whether you've died and become born again. You say, today I want to become born again. If you've done it in the past, that's fine. Just repent where you are of the sins that you've recently committed. But if you've never made that commitment to enter into covenant with God Almighty through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and by dying to self, and committing to love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind, then I want you to raise your hand wherever you are. If there's somebody here that says, I want to commit my life to Jesus today, just raise your hand. Okay. Now I'm going to make a second invitation. By the way, the fact that there were no hands raised today means that we need to go out to bring people in who will raise their hands. You've been called to do that. If there's people here this morning that says, I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I want to receive the Holy Spirit's power, the dunamis power of God, to be a more effective witness. If that is you, just raise your hand wherever you are. Okay. I assume that you all believers, if you have not come for the first one. So I want to invite you to come to the front right now. Stand right at the front next to the stage, please. The rest of the believers, just keep on praying in the Spirit softly. Hallelujah. Now, if you have never prayed for someone to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you would like to start today, then I want you to come to the front. You've already filled with the Holy Spirit. You're moving in the gifts of the Spirit of God, speaking in tongues, prophesying, etc. If that is you, just come quickly. We need one for each person. Just stand behind the person that you're going to be praying for.
If you've done this before, you must stay seated. I'm only wanting people who've never prayed for someone before to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Church, as I share now, I want you to pay attention to every word I'm going to be speaking, because I want you to listen to what I share so that you can do the same and repeat it 1,000 times over. I know that the calling of God upon my life is not only to lead people to Jesus, but to also see people filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to share with you just from impartation that God has given me. So those of you who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to just look at me for a moment. I want you to know that the Word of God says that Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. There is no one else. I don't do it, and the person behind you does not do it. There is not a human being on this planet that does it. Nobody prayed for me, and nobody laid hands on me either. You receive it from Jesus, you ask from Jesus. We're just facilitators. And what you're going to be doing is something very simple. You're just going to say, Lord Jesus, baptize me now with your Holy Spirit and with fire. Holy Spirit, come inside of me and empower me with your gifts. Holy Spirit, I make myself available to be used by you. Whenever, wherever, for whatever. Thank you, Holy Spirit, and thank you, Jesus. And it's as simple as that. Then I'm going to pray for you in English, the same things, and speak it over you. Then I'm going to pray in tongues, and I'm going to ask the people behind you to pray in tongues. I'm going to ask the church all together to stand, and we're going to stretch out our hands, and loudly we're going to speak in tongues. And as we do, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. He will empower you, and I invite you to speak in tongues with us. And when you formulate the words, you may come through the same test as I have. I'm making this up, and you have in your mind, you have doubt, you have fear. Is this real? What if I do it wrong? What if the person behind me is going to tap me on the shoulder and say, yeah, this is verkeerd. There's no wrong. Let me explain to you. Every word that comes out of your mouth, you make it up. Whether you speak English or Afrikaans or Khoza, you decide. But where does that come from? It comes from your soul. But you also have a spirit, remember? And your spirit speaks the language that your soul does not understand. The heavenly language or another earthly language that your soul does not understand. Which is why your mind does not understand what's going on, and that's what confuses you, and you have a mind block. And sometimes I pray for people's minds to get out of the way. Stop trying to figure this out. Stop trying to concentrate. I sometimes see people concentrate so hard. You can't concentrate this thing. Just let God be God. And you have to formulate something from your spirit. You've got to speak it up. And one day you're going to speak Khoza or French or whatever it is going to be. Sometimes powerful things happen. The power of God makes people fall. Sometimes not. Some people get goosebumps, some not. It's not by the goosebumps or the falling over that you receive. It's by the truthfulness of the Word of God, who says, when you ask, you receive immediately. So before you walk out of this room, you will receive. Before you turn around, you will receive. Freely you've received, freely give. Amen. And secondly, I want to say, be bold. When you speak up, sometimes I see people, because you're scared that somebody's going to, you're scared of your own voice, and you're scared something's going to be there. Be bold. Be courageous. Hallelujah. That's why I'm getting all the other people to make noise so that you can't hear yourself. But so that the power of God may increase in this place. By the way, when we all together pray in tongues, have you noticed that sometimes the anointing of God grows stronger? There's a release in the Spirit. I'll teach more about that some other time. Okay. Can you see how simple this is? Are you ready? Church, can you stand together? Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I ask that you baptize me now with your Holy Spirit and fire. Holy Spirit, come inside of me and empower me with your gifts. I make myself available to be used by you, that your gifts may flow through me and your dunamis power as well. I'm willing and I'm ready to obey, to do whatever, whenever, and wherever you require it. Thank you, Jesus, for baptizing me now with your Holy Spirit and with fire. I receive it now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus, I pray in accordance with the prayers prayed in front that you will baptize the believers in front with your Holy Spirit and with fire according to your word, in the same way that you did with the apostles in the book of Acts. that there be no change and be no difference. In Jesus' name. Genachalach basomboroch dubale. Nimbakutu monbol dramach. Gas inechtabau. Gudramach dalea nach dusse mesa bondroch. Gudalmandale nasa. Receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and fire. Receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all nine of them, in Jesus' name. Bechtuma dai dalach da sombon gudria machbir. Gerach balnam osomboroch dumarabach. Mamboloch besukate tenandrach dita gondukta masamba toyena. I invite you now, you've already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now start praying in tongues with us. Just let it go out in Jesus' name. Just open your mouth and start speaking. This is just one of the nine gifts, but just come and start with this one. Start with this one. Stop waiting for something to happen. Stop waiting for something. It's there. It's there. Your spirit, but just release it. Church, let us rise up. Let us rise up with a loud noise. Gichasa in the spirit. Bindaloch dolom. Namberach dala kunda mach. Mestia namboto. Mambarach kumba. Mahbola masabare. Lebaramba. Much basita talakandae. Unzingan talach. Komahinda. Mosuke telagangarach dalase. Mambarach baba. Let the mysteries of God be revealed. Gondelech. Mahbaras. Let the power of God be revealed. Barech denai. Lenach Gus, let the healing power of God flow in Jesus' name. In this building, let there be healing in Jesus' name. Right there where people are standing, let them be healed. Ganach Dobarach Bau, Nach Basi Babach. I pray for that knee in the operation to be healed in Jesus' name. And be healed in Jesus' name. I pray for those ligaments to be healed in Jesus' name. Gelach Guka Shambarach Bandarach Dau, Nech Sagar, Dirach Dandanach Drun Nambarea Nach Bau Akis. I pray for the backaches in this room to be healed in Jesus' name. Back pain to be healed in Jesus' name. Gumach dau zicha mambrach de lach basunda nach baba ingana nach delisibarach. If you want healing in your body anywhere in this room, just place your hand on the sick part of your body and receive your healing now. Guch basem badalach damarach bos gumach bis. If you see somebody putting hands on their own bodies wanting to receive healing, surround them and lay hands on them and prophesy over them and speak healing over them now. Proclaim over them saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed and receive your healing now in Jesus' name. Just believe it. Just surround them and pray that over them right there, right now. Goch damara sebaroch dolomomba, mambrach basun dolach dina maku, mambota lamach bastam, mombre didach, bola kisina nachbaroch dum, lech bariga tasangoroch dolekida nanane, namba docha masamach, mamba hungu manai, lambondo bosombom bambacha, nongita manrachbom, lava higant sombo huberaperech, garachumanach basenrach dabaleke teki, Guka Hamasambarach Dubane, Nambaum Gezeba Nambahau, Nambeta Tukumusi.
Shula, Shara Kishiva, very Kishala Kushula, Kaplai Kushula. See you. Thank you, Jesus.
Kuchle Mesa Mandrechte. Thank you, Jesus. Lach Berekita Malachumba. Yenach Yosundo Luchulai Maraya Langa. I believe that. There are people here who've got words of prophecies. God is speaking to you. There's words of prophecies. If that's you, I want you to just come on, stand on the stage next to me if you've got a word of prophecy you want to share. But while people are coming, normally I ask for a testimony for people that come to the front. Maybe I should come and tell us how you feel. Just tell us how you feel.
I was already baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 13 years old. But like you said, this morning is... The enemy comes with the lies and just said, oh, it's only the words you're making up. And it's a refrain I got, and not a lot of words, but and I was always wondering, what does it mean? Is it a real language? And as now, as I was praying, I just realized it was a joyful. It was the first time ever I experienced that. It was a joy praising God. And I, it's just amazing the, like you say, the my whole body is trembling from everything in my whole, yeah. I just want to praise Him. And this morning, just want to say, whenever, wherever, whatever, God, I'm really willing for you to do what you ask me to do. Praise you.
You know, when a baby starts to speak, they say, ma, mama, then papa, sometimes the other way around. And they say, ta, give me. Small words. Sometimes it's small, sometimes it's sentences. Don't be discouraged if it's just one word or one sentence. Hallelujah. Who else?
I just want to say we interceded this morning, and part of what we asked for was just this, that people will receive the Holy Spirit. And there's a word that I just want to give in John 4:38. It says that we will reap where we didn't sow. But my question to you is, if we don't sow now, what will the next generation reap? And I think things like this, just to teach us how to receive the Holy Spirit, to be baptized with fire and to speak with fire, is stuff that we don't see every day. And I just praise God for anointing us this morning. And one of the things that I believe we need to realize is that God has chosen you this morning to be here, to hear this message. But now we've got a choice to go and do it. And may we all just be blessed with whatever we say, what comes out of our mouth. Thank you, Anton, for being obedient to bring us this message.
Hallelujah.
My wife is not well this morning, and I was very tempted to stay at home with her today, and I'm now very glad I came. A couple of years ago, I was in Jerusalem, and we were standing at a wailing wall, and a woman that was in our party came to me, and she patted my shoulder and said, God's got a message for you. Would you like it? I said, obviously, yes, please. And she said, that morning God told her that he's quite happy with me, but he wants to give me fire. And I must admit that that went by the wayside a little bit. And I was at the men's camp a couple of years ago where a lady prophesied over me, and it's the same thing. It says, God wants to give you fire. And this morning I knew why I'm here. Thank you.
While we were worshiping this morning, the word that came to my mind, I'm not a guy that comes to the front often with a word, but was just, it might sound so funny, but imagining the kingdom of God. Now, I know the kingdom of God is not just in our imagination, it's so real. But sometimes we must apply all our faculties, all we are, our body, soul, and spirit. And that, for me, the imagination comes out of our soul part, out of our intellect, out of our emotions. But apply ourselves to step into the kingdom things of God, to really push forward, especially when we worship, to step into the kingdom rule of God. It doesn't just happen when we wait for it. So I just want to, and I just know this is what God helped us to do this morning. But I think also when we go out here, to continuously step into the kingdom rule of God. We live in this intersection of the physical and the spirit and the non-physical every day. But we need to choose to step continuously into the kingdom things of God.
Hallelujah. Okay. Just the people in the front here, when you were praying, I saw all of your lips were moving. Just my question, were you praying in a language you didn't understand? Just a key that I want to teach you as a church, which I always say to people. If you want to pray in tongues, you've got to stop praying in Afrikaans or English. You've got one tongue. You can't speak two languages at the same time. So oftentimes I see people in the front and they're saying, Yira asablif, Yira asablif. Danki Yira, danki Yira. Thank you Jesus. And you're speaking English all the time, Afrikaans. And that's why you don't speak in tongues, because you need to shut up with your Afrikaans and your English. And then you just speak the other language. Amen. I want to reiterate, always very important, that when you ask, you receive, which means everybody in this room are filled with the Holy Spirit. You have got access to all 9 of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, which means you can speak in tongues, you can prophesy, you can pray for the sick, you can receive interpretation of tongues, discerning of spirits, whatever is needed at that time and according to your willingness and your obedience, you can receive and move in it. If sometimes people struggle to pray in tongues, and why do we focus on this one when there's 8 others? It's just because it's your spirit man that needs to be activated. Your spirit needs to speak to God. That's why the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 6 and he says, pray in the spirit at all times. He says, you, the one who prays in the spirit edifies his own spirit man. You need to edify your spirit man to strengthen your spirit man, which is why
when we all pray together in tongues, there's a power that is released in this building that sometimes makes demons manifest. Have you seen that sometimes? But my point to you is very simply this. Guys, just do what God has given you. And if you sometimes not pray in tongues, what I say to people is go home today and just close the door where you're alone, or go walk on the beach far away from people and you start praying by yourself. Because sometimes we just need to get away from other people and just get used to our own voice speaking another language. And oftentimes people come to me and they say, yeah, Anton, I did that and it worked. Thank you. Hallelujah. I want us to close off. And in a sense, we want to, on the one hand, we want to be sort of be reverent, because I sense a reverent presence of God, yeah? But at the same time, I want us to have an activation. So I want us to just close by praying loudly in the Spirit, all of us together. And then I want the worship team to lead us in a song, but a celebratory song, a thundering song that's in line with the message that we have today, that we've been called to be witnesses, to move in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen? Can we do that? And then please invite people who might need this message for tonight, because I'm going to repeat this. We're going to have the same exercise tonight as well. Let us pray together and let the band lead us. Thank you, God, for pouring out your Spirit. And thank you, God, that your word is true and just, that all of us have received. All of us have been empowered. But God, today we just surrender ourselves and say, here we are, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Nach dela kasach. Mom barech bisi batarach gulma mabarachtam. Lach drisa noch dubbel lach barachato barachtole. Nendik tasam barach dulamas. Gach besira pondolea nachdam. Lach duga talamam barach dolo kutimis. Jinkan tarach batide de la chasa. Hallelujah. Worship team, if you're ready, you can start. If anybody's in a rush, you need to go home, you're welcome to do that. But let us just celebrate what God is doing here. Let us just celebrate that for a moment. You can postpone whatever's after this. But let us just, this is a holy moment here today, and it's something we need to just grab hold of. Father, I just want to send out a declaration over this church in Jesus' name. Everyone here present and those who couldn't make it, in Jesus' name, I commission you as witnesses, empowered by the Holy Spirit, in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus, go and be witnesses. Preach the gospel. Lead people to Jesus through salvation, through repentance and faith. Pray for the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead, cast out demons, and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Let fear and doubt be gone in Jesus' name. For we have not received a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Doubt be gone, intellectual reasonings be gone in Jesus' name. The things of this world will try and bog us down through the intellect. And I remind you today, believers, through 1 Corinthians 2, that we should not try to understand spiritual things with the natural mind through material thoughts in the material realm. For God says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my understanding is higher than your understanding. God lives in the supernatural realm, the higher realm. And he calls us out that he says, if you seek, you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. And as we seek the riches in Christ, we will find it. But church, I feel the Lord is saying that you are poor, for you do not ask, and because you do not seek, and you do not desire. That is why the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Earnestly desire. Lord, I thank you today for a new day in this church, a new season that has been ushered in. Thank you, Lord, that today we call an end to the season of mourning and we proclaim a season of celebration, but more so a season of activation. And so I say, church in the Somerset West, be activated now in the name of Jesus.
be proclaimers of the Most High God and be endowed with power from on high and boldness. As the believers in Acts chapter 4 asked for boldness, Lord, you came and shook the building. I pray, God, for boldness to be restored in this church. Denacha, a great boldness and a zeal and a passion, unquenchable, unstoppable, unblockable by any tongue, power, or might. In Jesus' name, every demonic power that has been resisting the moving of the Spirit of God in this church, I break your power now. In Jesus' name, every spirit of the intellect and mind and the heart that has been bound, I say, I break your powers in Jesus' name. Everyone that came with a lying spirit to deceive people into thinking they have not received, and this false spirit of humility and the spirit of adoption be poured out. Let the spirit of adoption be poured out on this church and everything else be broken in Jesus' name. No more orphan spirit in this place. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are ambassadors. We are the mighty ones of Israel. We are mighty men and women. Therefore, church, let us arise as mighty men and women, because indeed the power within you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Church, I close with one testimony. At the age of 16, I encountered demonic spirits for the first time. Never heard it, seen it. Just read about it in the Bible. And as I walked to that place where there was a girl that was demon-possessed, she would be picked up by the demons thrown around the room. I'm not going to tell the whole story. The only thing I knew was greater is he that is in me that is in this world. The battle belongs to the Lord. And Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority to trample on scorpions and snakes and have all the power of Satan. And as a 16-year-old boy, not even born again for 2 years, we took authority over demonic spirits, casting them out. Do not be afraid. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And this right to rule in the name of Jesus has been given to all of us. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I just believe that God is saying that, or like something amazing has been happening in the past weeks with our church, and he's just saying that we must make a choice. The ship is leaving the harbor, and we're either on it or off it, so we must make a decision.
Last week we had the Hermanus in Somerset West Youth Camp, and while we were worshiping on the Saturday evening, which is the last night, I saw a succession of pictures, and I saw first a city on a hill, and I thought that that was our church, and we're going to be, well, we are the light. And then after that, I saw a flash of a ship leaving a harbor, and I had no idea what it meant. And I thought, okay, well, maybe it's just me. And now when Christina said that, it makes sense. And then the next picture I saw was like a stadium full of youth, and all their hands are raised, and they're all just worshiping Jesus with everything they have. And I felt that that was saying that the youth are being raised up by God, and they're going to bring revival.